reading from the book of Acts. C'est donc le lendemain que s'assemblèrent les chefs, les anciens et les scribes qui se trouvaient à Jérusalem. Il y avait Anne, le grand prêtre, Caïphe, Jean, Alexandre et tous les membres des familles de grands prêtres. Ils firent amener Pierre et Jean devant eux et procédèrent à leur interrogatoire. « À quelle puissance ou à quel nom avez-vous eu recours pour faire cela? » Rempli d'Esprit Saint, Pierre leur dit alors, « Chefs du peuple et anciens, on nous sommes aujourd'hui pour avoir fait du bien à un infirme, de dire par quel moyen cet homme se trouve sauvé. Sachez-le donc, vous tous et tout le peuple d'Israël, c'est par le nom de Jésus-Christ, le Nazaréen, crucifié par vous, ressuscité des morts par Dieu, c'est grâce à lui que cet homme se trouve là, devant vous, guéri. C'est lui la pierre que vous, les bâtisseurs, aviez mise au rebut. Elle est devenue la pierre angulaire. Il n'y a aucun salut ailleurs qu'en lui, car aucun autre nom sous le ciel n'est offert aux hommes qui soit nécessaire à notre salut. Hear what the Spirit is saying to the church.
Letter of John. We know love by this, that Jesus laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for one another. How does God's love abide in anyone who has the world's goods and sees a brother or sister in need and yet refuses help? Little children, let us love, not in word or speech, but in truth and action. And by this, we will know that we are from the truth, and we'll reassure our hearts before him whenever our hearts condemn us. For God is greater than our hearts, and he knows everything. Beloved, if our hearts do not condemn us, we have boldness before God, and we receive from him whatever we ask, because we obey his commandments and do what pleases him. And this is his commandment, that we should believe in the name of his Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another, just as he has commanded us. All who obey his commandments abide in him, and he abides in them. And by this we know that he abides in us, by the Spirit that he has given us. Hear what the Spirit is saying to the church.
Jesus Christ, according to John.
Glory to you, Lord
Jesus. Jesus said, "I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. The hired hand, who is not the shepherd and does not own the sheep, sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and runs away, and the wolf snatches them and scatters them. The hired hand runs away because a hired hand does not care for the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know my own, and my own know me, just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father. And I lay down my life for the sheep. I have other sheep that do not belong to this fold. I must bring them also, and they will listen to my voice. So there will be one flock, one shepherd. For this reason the Father loves me, because I lay down my life in order to take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of my own accord. I have the power to lay it down, and I have the power to take it up again. I have received this command from my Father. The Gospel of Christ.
Praise to you, Lord
ourselves to the Good Shepherd, our guide and friend. Amen. I want to tell you straight up that you're not done with singing Good Shepherd imagery, because we put them all in. It's such a powerful image, and there's so much good music to go with it that we're going to keep going. Now, it is an image. It is a way of speaking about God's care for God's people. And we are not sheep farmers, so we don't go right into the image all the way. But it is a visual that helps us to think of God's care for us. Now, that jump to God's care for us actually is a jump we have to make. And I learned it this hard way in my first year of being ordained. So first of all, the Good Shepherd imagery comes up every fourth Sunday after Easter. And so my first one as being newly ordained, the people of the church knew this, and they said, "Oh, we know a sheep farmer. We could bring in a lamb for the children's focus." And we did. We brought in a lamb, and I was holding this lamb, and my robe started to get wet. But even if that hadn't happened, everyone was so enthralled with this beautiful creature. And I don't think anyone even remembered that we were talking about God being like a shepherd. They were with the lamb. I want to make that connection, that analogy of God and us, out of this imagery. And it's beautiful. The psalm, as you heard it and as we'll sing it again, says that we will not be in want. We will have everything we need. In a world focused on scarcity, that's saying something. We will be able to rest. That's what green pastures are for. In addition to abundant food, we will be able to rest. We will have still waters, not just drinkable water, but safe streams to cross. We will have the right path when we need it. And even when the roads are scary, even when roads lead through dark valleys that we could call the shadow of death, we're being guided. We hear of the shepherd's guiding staff directing the sheep where to go. And it's reinforced by other psalms too. Psalm 16 says, "My boundaries enclose a green and pleasant land." And whenever I come to that passage, I think, oh, we all have our places where we want to go. And there's the shepherd holding us in to where it would be most healing and healthy for us to be. Psalm 23 is the language of metaphor. People quote it, we memorize it, we receive it as a comfort. And even when there are literally dark places ahead for us, we take comfort that God is there too, that God will come through for us and with us. God will be sitting with us at our table when we are sitting with enemies or people we can't stand. God will anoint our heads. And God's goodness is so abundantly overflowing that It will be with us for the rest of our lives. It's so beautiful. But if God is already so good, as this image of the shepherd assures us, why does Jesus have to go out of his way to say that he is the good shepherd? I mean, isn't it obvious that shepherds are good? Except that it wasn't. John chapter 10 is a long chapter. The whole chapter is about sheep and shepherds, and it's so long that we break it up into three parts in our three-year cycle of reading through the whole Bible. Each year we get a part of it, and we learn about shepherds that aren't so good. The hired hand who runs at the first sign of danger, and the wolves get in, and the sheep are scattered or killed. Jesus seems to be taking this metaphor further than where the psalm started it. He's saying the shepherds are people. And although we might think of God as a pillar of cloud or waves on the water or the wind, the reality is the shepherd works through human processes. The shepherd is God's presence as we discern it among people in community. And we love this image. In fact, we use the word for clergy. Pastor is a word that the secular culture still knows as a word for clergy. It's more intelligible than rector or canon or like, what do these words mean? And the secular culture still knows the word pastor, so it's a word that we like. But it's not just for clergy. In a way, we're all the shepherds. In a behind-the-scenes way, as well as in the very public sense. So in the very public sense, being shepherds is hard. Maybe that's why the hired hand found the way out. Being shepherds is hard. And so I would say, please pray for the clergy of your church. Pray for me, pray for Alan and Christina and Pat. Pray for Karen in these last few weeks before she is ordained. And as the Anglican Ecclesiastical Province of Ontario has asked us, pray for more people to feel called to ordained ministry. Pray for yourself if that's something that you are discerning. But we're all the shepherds. You know, paintings just don't go up on the wall because they go up on the wall. There's behind the scenes, the shepherding of processes. There isn't someone to greet you at the door with their heart open unless people have said, I want to be a sides person. There are so many ways where we are together and we're each offering ourselves. Collectively, we're like the Good Shepherd. We're showing Jesus to the wider community. Now, Jesus is not the first one to point out the hired hand. We read a passage on the Sunday called The Reign of Christ. And that is our end of year before we lead into Advent and Christmas. And it's kind of a summary of all the stories of Jesus. And we say the role of the church is to bring about and support the kingdom of God, the ideal world as Jesus has spoken about it and taught about it. And on the last one, just this past November, we read from the prophet Ezekiel. And Ezekiel has his whole chapter on sheep and shepherds and failures by sheep and shepherds. And so I want to share just a little bit about that. It's Ezekiel chapter 34. He says, God is the true shepherd. So he's working off of Psalm 23 as well. And he says this, for thus says the Lord God, I myself will search for my sheep and will seek them out. As shepherds seek out their flocks when they are among their scattered sheep, so I will seek out my sheep. I will rescue them from all the places where they have been scattered. And then Ezekiel goes on to equate all of us with sheep. So here's us. As for you, my flock, thus says the Lord God, I shall judge between sheep and sheep, between rams and goats. Is it not enough for you to feed on the good pasture, but you must tread down with your feet the rest of the pasture? When you drink clear water, must you foul the rest with your feet? Now, if you want a good scripture for Earth Day, which is tomorrow, Ezekiel chapter 34. But there's another part where Ezekiel critiques the shepherds. He says this, "Mortal, prophesy against the shepherds of Israel. Thus says the Lord God, ah, you shepherds of Israel who have been feeding themselves, should not the shepherds feed the sheep? Should not, when you eat the fat, you clothe yourselves with the wool, you slaughter the fatlings, but you do not feed the sheep. You have not strengthened the weak. You have not healed the sick. You have not bound up the injured. You have not brought back the strayed. You have not sought the lost, but with force and harshness you have ruled them. I am against the shepherds." So, Jesus is actually in direct continuity with the prophets. You know, we have this short form people often say that, oh, the gospel is about the God of love and the Old Testament is about the God of judgment. I will try to correct you anytime you try to do that. Jesus arises out of the prophets, and like them, he is expanding the image of the Lord as shepherd, amplifying it, applying it to new settings and situations. And now we have that as our job. Apply the shepherd and sheep in our capacity here. And so, first of all, we pray for all the ministries of our church. We pray for the visible things that you see that are high profile. We pray for the behind the scenes things. And even if you come to church and you think, oh, well, I don't do very much, you join in the prayers. You join in the praise. It matters. So if we think of our whole community as the shepherd, let's thank God for those ways that other people see it in us. Let's ask God to inspire us to be that love even more and more. We're already doing it. Each Sunday is like the training wheels again to continue. Thank God for giving us this beautiful gift of the sheep and the shepherd so that we may be that for each other and for our whole community. Amen.
Thank you.
Creator of all, we join together in gratitude and joy for the many ways that you call us, as we call to you in prayer. Help us to practice the rituals we have inherited that anchor and renew us as we say, Gracious God, hear our prayer. Gracious God, we pray for our world. We pray for those who are caught and suffer in struggles for power. We pray for environmental conditions that need to change. We especially pray for peace. Peace between nations, Ukraine, Russia, Gaza, Israel. Peace within countries. Peace between us and our earth. Peace within our homes and families, and peace within our own hearts. Gracious God, hear our prayer. We pray for our country, Canada. Inspire our leaders to acknowledge the goodness of humankind and to work to foster government which cooperates at all levels. Support us as we seek ways to be effective, responsible citizens. Gracious God, we pray for our reconciliation with the truths of our Indigenous history. Help us to learn and accept where we are now so we can begin to grow, especially in the understanding, love, and care of this beautiful earth on which we live. Gracious God,
hear our prayer.
We pray for our church, Anne, our metropolitan, Linda, our primate, for Shane, our bishop, and to people called to vocations to holy orders, individuals who will love you with their whole hearts and gladly spend their lives making your love known, and to the people and places that support these people on their vocations. We are thankful and ask your blessings for those who minister at St. John's, including Alan, Gary, Pat, Christina, Karen, and for Karen's ordination in May. Barb, Kimberly, Carrie, Jesse, Barbara, Monica, Mary Ann, and Jeff, and all who volunteer, and give glorious thanks for the creators who have expressed themselves in this art credo. Gracious God, hear our prayer. We pray for children and their families. Gracious God, hear our prayer. We pray for the sick, their loved ones, and their caregivers. We ask that your love and comfort be felt by us all and by those close to our hearts. We pray for the departed and all those who mourn them. Gracious God, hear our prayer. Lord God, shape us as a people who trust that your goodness will never cease. Help us to hear your callings. Walk beside us when we travel unfamiliar paths and when we wander without a clear path to follow. Meet us anew in your love. Gather to your heart our prayers, that in these days of deep yearning for peace, the joys of Easter and the emerging of spring, our prayers may come not only from our lips and hearts, but from our very lives. Amen.
Thank you.
Glory to God,
whose power working in us can do infinitely more than we can ask or imagine. Glory to God from generation to generation, in the Church and in Christ Jesus, forever and ever. Amen.
Que la paix de Dieu, qui surpasse toute intelligence, garde vos cœurs et vos esprits dans la connaissance de Dieu et de son Fils Jésus-Christ, notre Seigneur. Et la bénédiction du Dieu Tout-Puissant, Père, Fils et Saint-Esprit, descende sur vous, vous demeure parmi vous et parmi tous ceux et toutes celles que vous aimez près de la maison et autour du monde. Amen.
To love and serve the Lord. Alleluia.